The following is from the Main Street Radio Show on Prairie Public.
There's the fanfare. It's time that we welcome Matt O'Lean in studio here on Main Street to talk about films. Matt, thanks for joining us.
You bet.
And you have seen a really interesting concept for a film here.
Yeah, so They Shall Not Grow Old is the Peter Jackson-directed documentary about World War I, specifically focusing on British Empire troops, England, Wales, Scotland, New Zealand, Australia, Canada. And what he has done, first of all, I want to mention this is not an easy film to see because it's select days. It's not screening all the time. I saw it on a screening day on Monday, and it was only at 1 and 7 p.m. at Westacre Cinema, so you really have to check your listings. It is supposedly going to be expanded to more theaters, but it is very specific right now on what days it's screening. And it's, I'm not sure why the rollout is like that, but it's getting a lot of good press. So what Jackson has done with all of the artistic tricks at his disposal and technical tricks is he has put color footage. He's put color footage onto old World War I footage. So at the beginning of the film, you see the troops training. We have narration, recorded narration from old World War I British veterans, now long dead, but they were recorded. They told their story, and this is what really tells the story is this narration. Once the war starts and these troops get shipped over to France and Belgium, all of a sudden the screen goes widescreen and it goes to color and it feels like you are right there. It's like you're right on top of these guys. And what it is doing, Ashley, it's taking old jittery black and white footage and it's making these people human. I think it's when we watch that old World War I footage, it's like it's from another planet.
Well, the frame rate.
And now it all works. And also they have used dialogue experts. So sometimes you will see some men talking, even though it was silent film, and they have been able to dub in voices of what they're saying based on their lip reading. That's really amazing.
Wow.
And there are no punches pulled in this film. It is graphic. We see – this isn't the sanitized version, the Hollywood version. We see men's bodies cut to shreds. We see gore. It is very violent. I want to warn people about that. But I think that's what people need to see because this war was horrific. There were men being gunned down by machine guns. They were fighting in kind of an old-style fighting, but against new technology. And what that did was there were certain days in World War I where just thousands of men were cut down, cut to ribbons. It was you know, ridiculous. We think of Gallipoli and places like this, Belleau Wood, where the U.S. Marines broke through. But again, it's a British focus, but it is so vibrant, and it comes to life in this color footage and kind of the dubbed-over footage that I really never see anything like this. The men talk about rats in the trenches, how they had to live with these rats. They talk about the rations. But the main thing I got from it, most of these British veterans, when they were interviewed, have the thought of, we had a job, we had to get it done. They do talk about how awful it was, how they wanted to go home, how they were patriotic when they first joined up. And then when they got there, it wasn't quite the patriotic a thing that they were sold. They were sold a bill of goods, but they got the job done eventually, and it took 4 years. But there's that kind of British stiff upper lip that you hear with these old veterans' voices, like, we just had a job to do, we had to do it.
So where did this footage come from?
It's all archival World War I footage over the years from museums and archives and film places on universities. People own them, and what he has done is cleaned them up. Now they're in color. It's widescreen, and it's just, like I said, it's unlike anything I've ever seen.
Yeah. Has this ever been attempted?
No. It's almost like you're watching soldiers from today, except they're dressed in period piece 100 years ago. And that's how real you feel when you're watching it. You feel like you're right in the trenches with them, and it really humanizes everything. That's what Jackson has said. He wants to humanize the effort of World War I because it's so long ago that it's hard for people to humanize it. World War II, we can still touch. We know people that were in the war. My father was in the war. Mm-hmm. But World War I is like to me, it's like 100 years before World War II, even though it's only about 20 years before World War II. So I urge people to see this. It is really an amazing film.
Okay. What recently came out is the Oscar predictions, and I'm wondering with a film like this if this could lead to a whole new category. I mean, how do you even?
Yeah, I don't know, and I don't know if it was eligible for the documentary feature because you need a theatrical run, a small theatrical run for documentary, and I don't know if Jackson's slow rollout in certain theaters worked, or I don't know if they were even interested in the Oscar category, or maybe it would be for 2019. I'm not sure, but a couple thoughts on the nominations, Ashley. It was interesting that Bradley Cooper got three nominations for Actor in A Star Is Born, Best Picture, because he's the producer, and the screenplay, but he did not get a director nomination. And I think what that's telling me, Ashley, is kind of the semi-frontrunner status that A Star Is Born sort of had in November and December is not there anymore. Mm-hmm. It's still got a Best Picture nomination. Lady Gaga's up for actress. Sam Elliott gets his first ever supporting actor nomination, but I don't think it's going to win Best Picture. I think it'll win Best Song. The Lady Gaga pen song, Shallow, is probably going to win, but that was interesting that he did not get into the director mix. Instead, like in the directing categories, they went a little more eclectic. Paweł Pawlikowski for Cold War, that's a Polish film. Alfonso Cuarón for Roma. So two of those director nominations are for foreign language subtitled films. And what's really interesting is Roma, the Cuarón film from Mexico, which is about kind of a semi-autobiographical film of him growing up in the 70s in Mexico, is probably the de facto frontrunner for Best Picture. And it would be the first foreign language subtitled film to ever win Best Picture if it pulls it off. Hmm. He would also be the fifth Mexican director to win Best Director in the last 6 years.
Wow.
That triumvirate of he and Iñárritu and Del Toro have just dominated cinema. And that would have been astounding to think of three directors from Mexico, let's say 30, 40 years ago, would have been astounding. I also thought it was very interesting that the two actresses from Roma got nominated. Emily Blunt did not get nominated for Mary Poppins Returns. That was a little bit of a surprise. Hmm. But the fact that they've nominated two basically unknown actresses from Roma tells me the Academy really likes this film. And I think it probably is a slight favorite. And I think Christian Bale is probably a slight favorite now to win for Vice as Dick Cheney. Supporting actor, boy, that's interesting. Mahershala Ali in Green Book and Richard E. Grant in Can You Ever Forgive Me are probably the two I would vote for. Ali's performance is really a lead performance. It's almost a co-lead with Viggo Mortensen. But for positioning, they've put him in the supporting role. Mm. And he won 2 years ago for Moonlight, so he could have his second supporting actor Oscar in the last 3 years.
Okay. Well, that'll be a fun one to watch.
Mm-hmm.
All right. For the film that you reviewed, They Shall Not Grow Old, the director, Peter Jackson, has been nominated and won several Oscars. List them.
So I think all of his Oscars were for Return of the King in 2003 for director, Best Picture, and I believe he was involved in the screenplay as well. Am I missing something?
Yeah, we got him as a nominee for...
Oh, you want nominations, too?
Yeah. Oh, nominations.
Oh, so his directing nomination was for Fellowship of the Ring in 2001. Then he won for director in 2003 for Return of the King, and he won the Best Picture Oscar for Return of the King, and then Fellowship and The Two Towers were both nominated for Best Picture in 2001, 2002. Was he also not a screenplay nominee for Heavenly Creatures back in 1994?
Yeah, 1994.
I think that's
all right.
Did
you say the 2009?
Oh, for District 9.
There
he produced
go.
That film. Yes, Best
all
Picture.
All right, we've been to the movies with Matt O'Lane.
Main Street airs at 3 and 7 Central weekdays on Prairie Public.